Hello, this is Aspen Public Radio. Good evening, I'm Randy Essex, publisher and editor of the Glenwood Springs Post-Independent. For the next hour or so, I'll be asking questions of the two candidates running for Garfield County's District 2 commissioner seats. The candidates are incumbent John Martin, the Republican, and John Acha, the Democrat. To start off, each candidate will give an opening statement of up to 2 minutes, and after that I'll ask a series of questions. The rules of engagement are a 2-minute answer and a 1-minute response if necessary. We'll start with the incumbent, John Martin.
Well, thank you, Randy, and thank you all the listeners out there. I do have a face for radio, so thank you for letting me be on the radio here. Been a policeman 25 years in Glenwood Springs, a cobbler, a mechanic, even a bartender to listen to all the troubles of the world. And then I got all that together and became a county commissioner to make efficiency in government work a little bit better. 20 years of doing that, some folks think that's way too long. That makes other people nervous because I've been there and learned so much. But I think it's the best for the citizens. And I'm going to continue to do that as long as I can. Hopefully within the next 4 years, I'll be able to pass on all that nice knowledge that I've gained to the other folks coming up behind me and take a back seat. And then retire. Wait a minute, I did hear a cheer there. I didn't quite hear a retirement cheer. But anyway, there are some out there that think that's a good thing to do. But I love this, and I love doing what we're doing, and we've come a long, long way. So thank you very much for the experience.
Thanks, John. Mr. Acha?
Thank you, Randy. My name is John Acha. I live in Newcastle. I'm a father. I'm a husband. A local businessman. I've been a soldier in the United States Air Force, served my country all over the world, all over the United States. I've got my education through the University of Maryland and through the School of Hard Knocks, and I want to bring that experience to Garfield County. I want to grab the reins. I want to be a leader when it comes to creating a better future for Garfield County and the citizens that live here. With the voters' support, I hope to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. So let's talk first about the elephant that has emerged in the campaign, and I don't mean the Republican. The Democrats finding that you, Commissioner Martin, had to repay the county $1,800 for expenses from travel. They said that they would seek to indict you if you didn't resign and move to Delta County. Why hadn't you told the county about the other reimbursement you got on these trips? And in 2 minutes, what do voters need to know about this?
Well, it's pretty easy. I belong to an organization, Colorado Counties, and 8 steering committees for legislative action. One, which has a trust fund for public lands issue, have a traveling team of 8. They defer some of the cost to the counties for public land issues in Washington, D.C. and other places. That advancement is $25 a day for travel in reference to the first and last day, $50 for deferred expenses. So here's a test. In reference to going to Washington, D.C., CCI pays for the airfare and the hotel. Also gives me that advance. There's no requirement to report that to anyone. It is between that association and myself. So the first thing that we do is park the car, $8 a day. Who pays for that? That money that came in advance. Who pays for the checked luggage? I do. That's $25 each way. That's 50. That's 100 bucks in the first day before I even got on the hotel. Get to the airport. How do I get from Reagan International to Woodley Park? And if you know where Woodley Park is, it's across town, the northwest section of Washington, D.C. What's a taxi cab? 48, 50 bucks each way, going and coming, because I have to come back. There's 200 bucks right there. Now, have I had a meal yet? And the answer is no. Did I shine my boots? No. What about the 4 trips I have to make from Woodley Park to the Capitol, to Cannon Building, Longworth Building, and to the Senate Building, Russell, etc.? Those are taxi cab rides. 15 to 20 bucks with, well, that's another how many dollars have I spent? And that comes from the advance dollars. All of that has been reported to the accountants. They ignored that. The accountant recommendation was I pay that $300 back to the county because I got an advance. And because I used my P card, which is a purchase card, to take care of meals while I was there. So I gave that back, and that came out of my pocket. So now the county has the $300, the receipts for any activity, and I'm out $1,800 for 3 years because of that scenario. Why don't you take the test and see exactly how much money I absconded with in reference to the county taxpayer dollars? And the answer is nothing.
Mr. Acha, what's your interpretation of this, and do you think it was reasonable to urge Mr. Martin to resign and move from the county?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, to understand this situation primarily, you have to first realize what happened. What happened was when I initially signed on board with the county and I announced my candidacy, a number of employees, current and former employees for the county, approached me. I've even been approached by a former elected official telling me about some difficulties that they had while working for the county. Now, in doing so, what I did was I chose, rather than using what little funds I did have available toward advertisement and campaign expenses, I used that money to get the CORA documents to investigate these concerns that were brought to me. And sure enough, we found that there are issues. Now, with regards to what John Martin has said, now, everybody's under the impression that this is $1,800, but it is so much more than $1,800. You have the original $1,800. Then you have $3,000 that was spent on top of that, plus a $7,500 bill from an independent investigator that came in. Right there, we're in excess. We're pushing $12,000 right there. That simple $1,800 is $12,000 worth of expense. That's the true cost to the county. Now, John just gave an answer about taxi rides and so forth. Per diem is per diem. It is food. The other expenses, the taxi rides, the check-ins, and what have you, yes, they are legitimate expenses. You keep the receipts, and you itemize those on your travel voucher. That's the way it works. It works the same in the county as it used to work when I was in the military. Anybody that's been in the military, it works the same way. That stuff is above and beyond. Ladies and gentlemen, $12,000 is what this ultimately cost us at the end of this investigation. $12,000, and the investigators looked at a 7-day period. There's 51 more weeks in a year. If this was to happen every week, $12,000, that's $765,000.
You know, or better. $7,500. I know that was extreme. $7,500 of that was the audit.
It was, but go ahead.
So you're implying that there was $12,000 in his expenses, and that's not the case, and I just want to clarify that.
No.
I asked, too, about the Democrats asking John to move to Delta County. What do you think of that?
Well, actually, thank you for bringing that up. I didn't want to go today without addressing that. Ladies and gentlemen, when it came to this, when this meeting occurred, Bob Shively and Andy Quate had planned to do this meeting. Now, the way it was expressed to me, and from what my understanding is, just three old politicians that were going to meet around a table. The two politicians from the Democratic side were doing so as professional courtesy. It was just three old politicians with more yesterdays than tomorrows ahead of them, and they were going to say, let John know what they had found out of professional courtesy. Now, 2 weeks prior to that, John had given an interview with the Post-Independence where he alluded at the end of his interview that it was his intent someday to retire in Delta. And I think that at the meeting that they had, and there again, I wasn't in attendance, I think what they did was they alluded to that maybe it was time to go to that retirement. I think this whole thing's just been twisted in such a way that it looks like extortion, but it really wasn't. It was just three old politicians sitting around the table giving each other the professional courtesy of what they had found. That's all it is.
Mr. Martin, the second finding about your meals today talked about charges that you have made for lunch with another commissioner, often Commissioner Sampson, on days when the county commission is meeting.
Or other meetings as well.
And you told Ryan Summerlin, our reporter, that that's allowed under county policy. I want to ask, as a fiscal conservative, and you're very proud of the county's finances and your stewardship over that, how does that look to the public?
I think it looks like a legitimate business transaction. What amounts to is we're on county business, we're doing county time, we're not talking about, again, lunch, we're talking about family, we're talking about religion, we're talking about philosophy, etc. But we're also on the clock in reference to what we have to do in front of us, and that is a business meeting, business of the citizens. It has been a policy and a practice since the P-cards came out, and that's been a long time. That policy can be changed, it can be talked about, and if it's a real issue that we feel that we need to, we will talk about that one. We set that so that all the other elected officials and numerous other department heads and employees have that same opportunity. If you happen to have a senator come into town and talk to some of the folks, is it a legitimate thing to take him to lunch and have lunch with him and use your purchase card? We think it is, because it's good practice. It's etiquette. It is something that decorum calls upon. You don't ask someone, such as another organization, another elected official, to pay for his own business.
I think the optics of this have, you know, when you and Mike Sampson have lunch at May Palace, how does that look to the public?
Like we're having social activity.
And it's on the county's dime.
It is, simply because we're on county time, doing county business prior and after. We're not doing business during. We're talking about many other things.
Okay. Let's move on to some other questions.
I did want to respond, however, to Mr. Atch's answer in reference to three old politicians sitting around a table. Mm-hmm. That was far from what was going on. That was a legal representative representing an entire executive board and a candidate with very pointed demands and allegations. In that room also was another attorney who listened to that. And the opinion was, that was not a social call. That was a salvo to say, we are going to go for indictment, period. And these are our demands. And if you don't meet those demands, we will move forward. If you do, however, back to what the other issue was, if you do meet our demands and go away quietly, we won't do a doggone thing. I look at that as somewhat of not just talking about what could be or what should be, but this is an out-and-out demand. And I question that as legitimate practice of an attorney in front of another attorney in front of an elected body.
Okay.
Randy, if I could, I'd just like to reiterate, in no way whatsoever was ACHA 2016 represented at that meeting. Nobody from my staff was present. That was the Democratic Party.
Well, when you came in here for your editorial board interview, Andy Quaint was with you.
He was.
And this was all based on the chorus that you just said that you used your money to draw from. I'd really like to move on to some other issues,
okay,
if we could.
Thank you very much, Randy.
Thank you. Garfield County has no debt and more than $100 million in reserves, but revenue from natural gas is dropping. What's your approach to the use of county reserves within the various funds? And does it make sense at some point to issue bonds against some of those reserves for major capital projects, either the county on its own or in partnership with municipalities or other entities? Mr. Atch, I'll let you go first.
Ladies and gentlemen, the county does, in fact, have a treasure trove of funds, rainy day funds, it's referred to a lot of times. Now, my background's in construction. If you will, I want to use the analogy of a roofer. I've never seen a roofer roof a house during a blizzard. And the reason being is because roofers know that you get things taken care of when the weather is good. Well, right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not as good as it has been in the past, but we do have a break in the weather, economic weather, if you will. So what we need to do is We need to lay the foundation for a prosperous future. And in doing so, what we need to do is we need to plant the seeds of prosperity. And we need to go out and seek other industries to come in and get us a more stable across-the-board economy. Now, in doing so, politicians are given a tool bag, if you will, of different things that they can use to make that happen, one of which is debt. And what the political parties need to do is they need to look at it just as a tool, no different than a crusher wrench or a hammer that you may have in your toolbox. You need to use everything, every facet at your availability as a tool in order to build the prosperity of the future. And I'm saying that this is just one tool that we have at our option. So we need to look at it. We need to give everything its proper course when it comes to what we're going to do for the future. And debt is just one of those things that we have to look at.
Okay. Mr. Martin? This is tough because you're both named John, and we're on radio. So.
Yeah, and Mr. Martin was my grandfather, but that's all right. What amounts to is the Garfield County is not in a panic. We have balanced budget. We've always lived within our means. We've saved as much as possible, knowing we lived through the oil shale days, and I served lots of papers in the police department because of that. The philosophy is don't spend more than you take in. Don't have a fat budget. Be very lean. The way that we looked at it is that we invested all of the dollars that we possibly could, up to $100 million, in secured 100% guaranteed funds, returning back anywhere from $750,000 to $1 million in interest on an annual basis. We also built up all of the reserve funds to 19 different funds. It is not one big pot. Each one of them, except for the general fund, are obligated. General fund has about $53 million, but we operate the entire county with about $20 to $25 million on hand. What we do is to adjust the mill levy, 13.655 mills, to go ahead and complement wherever we need to and reduce the funds in reserve funds, such as road and bridge or social services or retirements or the ones that are necessary, so that we can put more money into general fund to meet those needs. And the decline in revenue at $17 million is based upon production. However, in business personal property tax, which happens to be the oil and gas, is still very robust, and it does not go away. Those are the compressors, the pipelines, the production, all the other equipment is there. It is still in place and is still taxed. We are secure. We have to look at our capital. Right now, capital budget is, again, very robust, and we're going to throttle down. We're going to keep maintenance and necessary repairs done. However, we're not going to do giant projects such as bridge replacements and major pavement jobs, etc. We're going to go ahead and go through and make that a lower priority for new construction under capital. Because once funds go into capital, they can't be used for anything but capital. You can't take road and bridge funds and use them for retirement. Those are restricted. And it goes on down through. So we have balanced our approach. We have invested well. We live within our means. And right now, just with the preliminary work on our budget, we have a balanced operating budget by $858. We know where our money goes to. We're very proud that we do that. And we will continue to save. We will see a reduction in the overall mill levy, I mean not mill levy, but the reserve funds, by about $12 million. However, it's a $17 million reduction in revenue. I think we're doing a pretty good job. We're not depleting those, and we're not running ourselves into debt because we pay cash, we save dollars in interest, and again, it takes patience.
Okay. Thank you. This is Aspen Public Radio, broadcasting on KAJX Aspen and KCJX Carbondale. You're listening to a debate between Garfield County Commissioner candidates John Acha and John Martin. I'm Randy Essex with the Glenwood Springs Post-Independent. Mr. Martin, a lot of people in the county think the commission favors natural gas development at the expense of quality of life, such as the approval of drilling within the Battlement Mesa residential area. And I know that ultimately, that was a state approval with several county restrictions. Does the county favor the gas industry too much, and is it too economically dependent on gas?
No. And the answer is no. What it amounts to is that it is one of the largest taxpayers in the county, 10 of the top taxpayers of energy industry. However, there are rules, regulations, and land use applications that we have to review. The rules and regulations are in place. The state controls most of it except for land use within the county. A good example of that is the 1980 PUD approval of Battlement Mesa, a private development outside of a city and approved in 1980. They also set up all of their restrictions on all of their zones, what they can be used for in their development zones. And each and every one of those, of all of the villages that are out there, natural gas extraction is a use by right. We held to that we have to have a special use permit and review in reference to Battlement Mesa, and we did that. 53 different items that are, again, restrictions on that development, air quality control, water quality testing, as well as on-site reviews, etc. It is the most restrictive land use approval and observation of oil and gas and pipeline in the state. In fact, probably the nation because of that. And again, we honored the PUD and all its regulations and its zoning and its own regulations itself. My question to the citizens that were very upset, and I understand they are upset, why didn't you change your covenants? Why didn't you change your rules within each village in your zoning? Well, we didn't know. But you are part of the organization, and each one has a set of rules, regulations. And I handed it to him. How can I say no when you have a use by right within these regulations? And that's the PUD. We restricted as much as possible. We moved as slowly and as methodical as possible. We took 2.5 days of testimony. We adjusted all of those conditions of approval based upon rules, regulations, and testimony. The issue at hand is I can't say no. But I can go ahead and do as much as I possibly can to protect the health and the safety and the welfare of those citizens. And yes, some are going to be mad at me because I said yes, but I had no option. I live with that.
Mr. Acha, does the county favor the gas industry too much, and is it too economically dependent on gas?
Randy, somehow or another, I've picked up a reputation of being against oil and gas, and that is by no means the case. I'm of the mindset that the petroleum and the hydrocarbon industry, we have to work with them because, as John expressed, they are a viable employer and a source of income. But I'm of the contention that they're not the end all. We don't need to put all our eggs into the one basket with the petroleum industry. Now, with regards to the question, I can tell you that the citizens of Garfield County highly believe that the petroleum industry gets a certain amount of favoritism, if you will, on what they want and their needs. I believe that drilling within city limits is very dangerous, 740 feet from the high school, especially with a company that has less than a stellar track record. Now, John, he posed the question of why didn't the citizens change their PUD or the verbiage or what have you? My thing is, whatever laws are in place or what have you, it's the county commissioner's. It's the county commissioner's position. It's his obligation, his duty to the citizens of the county, to stand up and fight for their protection, whether the common sense laws or the PDU or what have you are on the books. It is your ultimate duty to defend the well-being of the citizens. And that we need to look at what's going on out there. I think that the approvals were too fast, too quick. And the proper consideration for drilling in the citizens' backyards, it wasn't given the proper consideration. We need to take our time when we make these decisions. We can't rely just solely on the state and the federal government to be looking out for our best interests. We need to ask the tough questions. Why isn't fracking? Why don't they have to adhere to the Clean Water Act. We need to ask those unpopular questions, and we need to stand up for the citizens of Garfield County and protect their backyard.
Okay, thank you. What can the county, what can and should the county do to help diversify the economy and bring jobs here, Mr. Acha?
Well, diversifying the economy is of the utmost importance. What I envision, what I have in mind is we're going to market Garfield County. We're going to put together a performa package, and we're going to go out and we're going to find those companies that are looking to expand, those IT-based companies, those manufacturing-based companies. I don't care what the company is. If it provides a job for a citizen of Garfield County, I'm going to go after it. We're going to package Garfield County in such a way that we're going to come to them, and we're going to say, this is Garfield County. This is who we have, who we are. This is what we offer, and this is why you need to relocate to Garfield County, and this is what we can provide for you. You come back to us and tell us what more can we do to get you to come to Garfield County. This is what I propose. I propose that we just put together a very, very aggressive marketing campaign for Garfield County, and we bring industry to Garfield County. Thank you.
Mr. Martin, what can and should the county do to help diversify the economy and bring jobs here?
First step, several years ago, we created an enterprise zone in the entire county. Municipalities were asked to join. Some did, some didn't. The other is tax incentives, true, but we're not going to give the taxpayer dollars to a business to bring them in. We also set up business incubators and supplied that in two different areas. We have belonged to and promoted all three that I know of, the Economic Development Councils, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, and Rifle, work with them side by side. We have quarterly, again, updates and meetings with all of those folks in a public session. And food is provided, by the way. And also we invite business people, bankers, etc. Financial. We bring in telecommunication folks. What is it that we really need to do? Working with that council, we have also moved forward and created a special district for Mesa and Garfield County for broadband, as you know. The needs and assessment are going on right now, as well as utilizing all assets that we possibly could have, not to increase expenditures, but to actually maximize the already known assets, such as telecommunication sites, et cetera. And you've seen that, and thank you for covering that. There's about 30 of them in Garfield County. Those are things we need to do, but we can't go out and spend dollars for the taxpayer dollars to recruit businesses. That is not government's job. Government's job is to lay the infrastructure. Creating a federal mineral leasing district, the only one within in the nation that takes dollars coming from development of minerals and giving that to a standalone board to give grants to all governments to allow the infrastructure and improvements to be done. We have done that. By the way, thank you for covering that. I did write that legislation. It was covered in the state. No votes in two different years on the improvement. Those are the kind of things that we do, as well as promote all cities and Garfield County, three different publications nationwide, internet service as well, and all chamber of commerces, highlighting everything that is available in Garfield County, including all its municipalities. I believe we've taken tremendous steps to promote and diversify the economy of Garfield County.
What can you cite a success of jobs coming here or staying here that, as a result of those efforts that you outlined?
You know, possibly. Did I measure them? Did I see those one and two member businesses flourish? No. What has happened is the healthcare issue is devastated a lot of small businesses. We're working on that, as you know, also to make sure that those businesses have a fighting chance to survive. We have companies that have been here many, many years that have many employees that have had to go ahead and throttle back simply because of the cost of health care and the requirements thereof. That is part of also the economic development, working with the federal government, working with the state government to come up with a solution to allow these people to stay in business. We have to support and protect and promote the existing businesses here, not just bring in people. They're more. They're our base. They're the heart and soul of Garfield County, those that have been here, those that are making a living every day. So we will continue to do it.
Mr. Acha, the Mr. Martin raised the health care costs here, and the county commission has been active in pressing the state to try to get the insurance zone basically changed. Insurance costs that are bought through the ACA exchange are extremely high here. What are your thoughts about what the county could do about that?
Boy, Randy, you really hit home with me. When it comes to health and medical issues, this is something that lies right on my doorstep. I mean, it couldn't have hit any closer to home. I don't know if you're aware of it, but some 10 years ago, I adopted my son. My wife and I were unable to have kids because of something that happened to me while I was in the service. But shortly after adopting Mason, about a year and a half after, we found out that Mason has hemophilia. And this is a hereditary disease. It's a very expensive condition. As a matter of fact, my son has to take a series of shots every other day that cost $900 each set. My son's home from school today because yesterday at noon he tripped and bumped his knee and he's got an internal bleed. Over the last 12 hours, he's taken 3 shots. So just alone, that's $2,700 worth of medicine. Now we've had weekends that cost us $6,000. And those are not just the costs to keep him alive from day to day. Those are extreme cases. But like I said, every other day. Now I know how this hits. So what we have to do as county commissioners is we've got to dig into this. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not as averse on the authority of the county commissioners as I'd like to be on this issue. But once I do take office, what I want to do is I want to dive in. I want to ask the state and the federal government representatives and officials, I want to ask them the hard questions. I want to put them on the spot. I want to ask them the hard questions on what we need to do and how we need to get there. And I'm not going to let up until I get the answers that I need, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight for the citizens of this county so that I can bring those costs down for myself as well as all the citizens of this county, because I do know just how hard that can hit. If the well-being of the citizens of Garfield County are directly correlated with their medical expenses, and it has to be addressed. And what you need, ladies and gentlemen, is you need somebody that's going to fight for you on that issue. And I promise you, that issue, I will not give up until we get treated the way we deserve to be treated.
Thanks. So attainable housing is one of the biggest challenges working people in the county face. It makes it hard for businesses to attract talented employees, and it adds driving time and stress for people who do live here. What's the proper role for county government in addressing this, Mr. Acha?
I think that the county should work hand in hand with the developers. I think that as far as affordable housing, we need to go back to the old school way of doing it, the way we were doing it 6 years ago, where we were requiring developers to provide a certain percentage of affordable housing. We need to sit down with the citizens of Garfield County. We need to readjust our building restrictions and our requirements. We need to look at new design capabilities, new products out there. I was just retained yesterday to work on an affordable housing project in Wisconsin. I've worked on several affordable housing projects here recently up in Aspen, where we put together budgets, provable budgets, showing that affordable housing can be brought to Pitkin County. I want to do the same thing here in Garfield County. We want to look at design. We want to look at construction. We want to look at different materials to be incorporated and have you. What we want to do is we want to bring a solid product at a livable price, if you will.
Mr. Martin?
Rules, regulations are one. Incentives are the other in reference to the development community. What can I do to increase density, et cetera? How can I go ahead and meet my bottom line and also provide, attainable housing? unit. We've done that. We have that. We have the incentive in our rules and regulations. We've worked again with the Housing Authority. We've transferred $2 million of incentive in reference to tax credits to affordable housing just this year. All of those things are being done now. But what is the market? What drives the market? How can it be affordable? And you have to look at our neighbors. You have to look at assessed evaluations. You have to look at also what's being sold outside of Garfield County. What is the workforce? There's a philosophy. Do you wish to have the government build and run housing for employment? Or do you wish to have it in the free enterprise, but using incentives and also rules and regulations to promote it by government to developers? And that's the last is what we have taken. We don't think that government should build housing and provide that housing and run it as a landlord and to regulate that. We have three different housing authorities that we buy, that we contract with to do that for us, transfer tax incentives, and set things in motion to allow the free enterprise to provide that.
Thanks. This is Aspen Public Radio. You're listening to a debate between Garfield County Commissioner candidates John Martin and John Acha. I'm Randy Essex with the Glenwood Springs Post-Independent. Hand in hand with housing are transportation issues. The South Bridge comes to mind as one major transportation project that the City of Glenwood Springs and the county both have a stake in. What level of involvement should the county have in moving that effort forward, Mr. Martin?
It should have a major role, but what we need to do is define it properly. And the word out on the street that that's an emergency access was, again, Scott McGinnis's response to the Canyon Fire, the South Canyon Fire, et cetera. Don Vanderhoof, the sheriff, and I were in the vehicle at the time that that took place. It has morphed into something else. And what we need to do is really tell it what it is, and that is the redevelopment of South Glenwood Springs. And if it is so, then we need to go ahead and look at it that way. What are the potentials of development, et cetera? What is the impact to Holy Cross Electric's building and parking lot? How are we going to go across a conservation easement without doing that? And why do we have to have the separate grade separation for the Rafta Trail? Also, it's off system for CDOT. 100% of it has to come through county funds because it's in the county, it's not in the city. However, it affects the airport as well. What is the approach going to be? Is it going to go over the runway, under the runway, along the runway, behind the runway? Those are some of the things. Now, there's also private property on the east side of the airport. And that holding company out of Aspen holds the key. How much is it going to be to acquire that property? How much is it going to be either to condemn or buy Holy Cross? How are we going to work with Aspen Valley Land Trust on a conservation easement? And what is the flexibility of Rafta under rail banking? All of those issues have to be brought to light. It is not just to build a bridge. It is affecting, again, many things from CDOT to all of the organizations and private property. Building a intersection and lifting Highway 82 8 to 10 feet is very expensive because that would be the requirement for a above-grade passage over Rafta rail banking. You have to think of that as well. So is that the only solution at South Bridge? And the answer is it's a big issue. We better talk about it more than just throw sticks and stones at each other and say, well, you're holding up because you won't give us any money. That's not the issue. The issue is how do we resolve these problems and challenges? And to be fair to private businesses, to conservation folks, and to private property rights, as well as taxpayers. How much money have we saved? How have we worked together? What is the intergovernmental agreement? What are all the legal issues that we need to be? Those all need to be there too. That has not been done, and we need to work on them.
Mr. Acha, your feelings on the county role and transportation issues and the South Bridge is a case in point.
Randy, the South Bridge project is in its infant stage. We have just begun to look at this issue and design as far as the options and so forth. So that's going to be a project that's ongoing over the next 4 years and possibly even the next 8 years. But for right now, what we need to look at the immediate needs of the citizens of Garfield County and what kind of remedies we can bring to the table right now. Those being that we need to sit down with RAFTA and work together with an agreement or a contract, if you will, to have full service from border to border in this county. We need to look at things like different companies that provide transportation for their employees, what kind of incentives and tax breaks or something that we can provide for them. As far as the South Bridge project, very aggressive, very exciting, but there are so many questions yet to be answered on that. It's coming. But we're gonna make those decisions one at a time as they come up, and they're going to be the right decisions. But no decisions on that project are going to be made quickly. But for right now, Randy, the immediate needs of the county need to be addressed. And we need to think outside the box and come up with some creative ideas on what we can do to minimize those drive times, to minimize that congestion on I-70 and 82 and through Glenwood Springs.
So what are your outside-the-box thoughts?
Well, there again, it was, like I said, maybe some tax incentives for companies that provide transportation. I know, for example, Suarez Masonry, for example, Honoro Suarez spends a great deal of money every year to provide 15-pack vans for his employees. We need to see about encouraging other companies to do the same. We need to sit down with RAFTA and see what we can do to ensure that the RAFTA bus service and schedules, that people, the livable schedules, what we can do to provide those from border to border in our county.
So, related question, another transportation question. Let's start with Mr. Martin. What would it take for you as a member of the Board of Commissioners to agree to ask the county as a whole via an election to become part of the RAFTA transit district? And are you committed to preservation of the Rio Grande Trail?
Wow, what a loaded question, Randy. Two different votes have already been cast, and those questions have come back 3-1. No, we do not want to, as the citizens outside the municipalities, to be part of RAFTA. It's too expensive, etc. However, the solution is working with Dan Blankenship and having a contract for services. We do that. Right now, we also contract to do senior services through RAFTA. We find a way to make transportation work. And the other one, let's see, the other part of that question was
committed to preservation of the Rio Grande Trail.
Absolutely. What amounts to it is a trail. It needs to be a trail. It is not a railroad corridor that, in my mind, it will never be a railroad corridor simply because of the encroachments and also the political will not to have it there. I think it's a great trail. We've contributed tens of thousands of dollars to complete that trail. Worked with RAFTA and Dale Will and everyone else in reference to that trail. Our solution was we will assist you in buying the property you need to preserve the trail and allow rail banking to go away so that we can continue to preserve and use that trail as economic development, recreation, and also freedom of movement for our citizens. But also so it doesn't encroach upon the private property people that it goes alongside of. If you would like to see four volumes of deeds, a reversionary clause, and all of the railroad rules and regulations, come by. I have it. I also worked with RAFTA on that. But it is not going to be a rail corridor. It is a land use control tool at the present time. We've said that since 1998, and it has proven to be so right even today into this conversation in reference to a separated grade crossing for the South Ridge. People need to see for what it is. It's a great bus system. It's a great transportation system. It's a land use control issue as well. And to hide behind rail banking and say that there's going to be a commuter rail there someday is false.
Thanks, Mr. Acha. What would it take for you to agree to ask the county as a whole via another election to become part of the RAFTA Transit District? And are you committed to preservation of the Rio Grande Trail?
Randy, first I'd like to answer the latter part of that question. As far as the Rio Grande Trail, for right now, that trail is an asset. Let's keep it the way it is. That's not to say future usage of that area can't be addressed, but now's not the time for it. With regards to RAFTA, I'm open to anything at this point. Dan Blankenship, I've known him for years. As a matter of fact, at one time his wife and him were looking to buy one of my spec houses. And Dan is a reasonable man. He's got a great program with the Rafta. What I propose we do is we don't close the door on anything at this point. Right now we sit down at the table and we keep an open mind at any avenue that may relieve this traffic congestion and make lives better for the citizens of Garfield County. And with that said, what I propose we do is we sit down with Dan Blankenship and Rafta and we keep an open mind and let's see where they're coming from. Let's let them know where we're coming from, what our concerns are. And between Rafta and the county, we'll come to a compromise. We'll find a win-win solution for everybody involved.
So every municipality in the county, I think, maybe not Rifle and some of those to the west, bring up the point about Rafta, the access control plan as a land use issue, and Mr. Martin addressed that. Do you, Mr. Acha, have thoughts about that issue of Rafta's access control plan and the difficulty that some municipalities have in terms of crossing the corridor, some of the issues with encroachments, such as in South Glenwood Springs?
That's an interesting, boy, that's a loaded question. There's a lot there.
You both said that. That must
this,
be a loaded
this
question.
Is true. This is true. Randy, the honest answer is here that it's a great question. There's a lot of issues and stuff to address in that question. And to be honest with you, I'm not familiar with the details of those issues as well as Mr. Martin is. I guess what I'm saying is I'd like to reserve my answer until I looked into the matter more. With regards to specifics like where the authority of the railroad's authority when it comes to land with private land and what have you. I'm not as familiar with the boundaries and so forth. So I'd like to look into that matter further if I could.
Okay. I want to give you each a chance to ask a question of the other. And I didn't warn you guys, so... For the audience, this is completely unscripted. Mr. Martin, what would you like to ask of Mr. Acha?
I hope he's happy with his life, his family, and wish him well.
No questions?
That's it. I hope he is. And I hope he would answer yes. He's happy. He's good within his skin. And that he is going to go and do great things in the future.
Mr. Acha, what would you ask of your opponent?
Well, first off, I'd like to answer and say yes, John. I'm very happy. I've got a great family. I got a loving, beautiful wife and a son. It's exciting. I love the fact that I'm a part of this community. I love being a part of this community. I know 17 years ago when I came to Garfield County, I wasn't born here, but I call this home. And the reason being is I didn't know I was from Garfield County until I got here. This is home. And with that being said, thank you for that. And John, I'd like to reciprocate and ask you if you're comfortable and if you like your family and your well-being. And I don't want this to turn negative, so I'd like to reciprocate the question.
Life is good.
Good deal. Amen.
Okay.
Arguing with a philosopher, I think there.
Yeah. Let's talk about the recreation economy in Garfield County for a moment. Throughout Colorado, the recreation economy is an engine for jobs, for small businesses. Clearly, Garfield County has many assets in this regard. And this harkens back a little bit to the question about jobs and economic development, but what can the county do to promote, to help that grow, Mr. Martin?
Number one is to do a publication and put it out to the world on what is available in all municipalities in Garfield County. Actually, to do videos to the Chambers of Commerce so that they can use it and promote that. create a communications department and put that out on the internet and website to actually promote Garfield County's recreational activities. We do that. We also work with our neighbors from ski industries and museums, heritage, tourism, to show exactly what has taken place, how recreation has evolved in Garfield County, and what there is. We do that every day. What could we do more? We could be more successful and keep track of each and every one of our visitors and say, where'd you come from, what are you going to do, etc. But that's a Chamber of Commerce activity, not the government itself. Lay the groundwork, put the tools in place within the confines of government and how they can do it, but not be the Chamber of Commerce and pay people to come here or pay people to advertise for you. Our job is to take care of the citizens and to promote Garfield County for reasonable growth, exciting activities, etc. But we don't have to use taxpayer dollars to do that. We can do it through other entities, and we do.
Mr. Archa?
I agree with everything John was saying as far as publicizing and promoting Garfield County and to go out and bring people here to enjoy our recreational facilities and our lands and stuff. But I'm a little confused. In a previous answer, John had mentioned that it's not the government's responsibility to provide the employment and the careers, but I disagree. I think it's ultimately the government's responsibility to provide for the citizens, whether that be the infrastructure, the facilities, but also the means by which to take care of yourself. I've always believed that the government's responsibility wasn't to give handouts to be able to take care of people, but rather the government, to each of their needs, or for each to in accordance with their needs, to each in accordance with their commitment and ambition. I thought that's the way it works in the United States, that everybody's going to be given the opportunity at a minimum to take care of themselves and provide for themselves. But your rewards are going to be a direct result of how aggressive you are. And I think that the local government, at the local government level, it is our job to go out there and package Garfield County to bring in those industries so that the citizens of Garfield County have the means by which to have livable jobs. And when I say livable jobs, I mean jobs where you're making enough money whereas you can provide for your family the way they deserve to be provided for without having to go out and get that second and third job. So I think local government, especially at the local level, it's our responsibility, it's our moral responsibility to make sure and work with the local government or the local business community and to bring in more businesses and more job opportunities and bolster and promote the local community. And that's wholeheartedly where I stand. I'll do anything to bring in a job to Garfield County and take care of the citizens of Garfield County.
Okay, last question before we wrap up. A quarter to a third of the county's population is Latino. Some of those folks have been here for a few generations. Some are newcomers. That population seems to not be very engaged in our civic conversation, to not have a lot of input into our policy decisions and discussion. Should they, and what would you do to reach out to them, John?
The Latinos community is very near and dear to my heart. I'm a Latino myself, as a matter of fact. My family's from Spain. I'm Basque, which is very rare. I'm of the mindset to believe I'm the only Basque left in the Rocky Mountains. I've yet to meet another Basque in 17 years.
Go to Boise, Idaho.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, in Boise. I love that. I love that. But, no, ladies and gentlemen, I am a Latino. I know what the challenge is. I know what it's like growing up where your dad English is a second language. I know what it's like to go to the grocery store and have to write the checks out or sit down with mom and dad every night or every month and pay the bills. I know the challenges that the Latino community face, but I also know the Latinos. They are the hardest working people to ever walk the earth. I truly believe that. They're very hardworking and very family oriented. And I will reach out. I have. And I will continue to reach out, and I'm going to draw that Latino community in, and we're going to be a viable part of this community, more so than what we already are. We are a community, whether you're Latino or Irish or what have you, I don't care. We're all going to work together, and we're going to build Garfield County. And not that Garfield County isn't a great place, it already is, but you know, I've seen what the people of Garfield County can do. I go up to Aspen and I look, and they build beautiful mansions every day. And that's just the beginning of what the citizens of this county can do. This is the best county. This is the best place in the world to live. And I promise you, under my leadership, we're going to make sure that the rest of the country and the rest of the world, for that matter, knows that Garfield County is the premier place to live.
Mr. Martin?
History lesson. I'm always doing that, aren't I? In 1776, Escalante was here. There were trade routes years before that from South America to here. In the inclusionary document in the Constitution of the United States, it stated that all documents from the government will be in two languages, and that's 1876, another 100 years. Spanish and English, because the majority of the people in Colorado were here. A lot of people don't know that this part of Colorado was in the Republic of Texas, which was, again, conquest of the Republic over Mexico. Most of the folks here were still Spanish. They have a heritage here. They have roots here. Now, the folks that have come in as immigrants from Mexico and South America, et cetera, Central America, they have rights. They also have responsibilities, and they're living up, a lot of them are living up to their responsibilities. They're becoming taxpayers, hardworking, honest folks. I hire those folks, too, at my orchard on a contract basis. I respect them, and they respect me. We can't put one above the other. We're all in this together, as, again, all of the other immigrants that came in that John mentioned from the Russians, Czechoslovakians, Chinese, and the Pacific Rim, etc. We're all in this together. We have to show each other respect, follow the rules, regulations, live up to our responsibilities that we have given, understand what our rights are, and understand what other people have the same rights. The Hispanic community is involved. It's involved in reference to our activities in Garfield County Fair and Rodeo. They have their own. We promote and also assist them into celebrations in the fairgrounds. We support and help the radio station outside of El Jebel, Spanish radio station. Their newspaper, we invite them in. Five Points, we look at their films. We promote and support all people. Hispanics are one of them. They don't stand above anyone, and we don't stand above anyone else. We're in this together. It's, again, a blend of cultures that make Garfield County in the United States. We'll keep it that way, with mutual respect.
Thank you. That's all the time we have. Just a reminder, this is a mail-in ballot election. If you haven't received your ballot by the end of this week, contact your county clerk's office. Ballots must be returned to the county clerk by 7 p.m. November 8th. This is Aspen Public Radio, and you've been listening to a debate between Garfield County Commissioner candidates John Acha, the Democrat, and John Martin, the incumbent Republican. I'm Randy Essex with the Glenwood Springs Post-Independent. If you missed part of the debate, you can go to aspenpublicradio.org later and hear a recording of it. And tune in next week for more debates and town halls. You can find the full schedule at aspenpublicradio.org. Coming up next is the final presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. You guys were the warm-up act. Have a great night.